Welcome to Awakening Matters with your host, Cynthia Sloan. This show is about illuminating the very real truth we all have gifts to offer and are born with. With that said, I'm honored tonight to welcome my special guest, Pamela Lealias. She is a stay-at-home mom, an entrepreneur, and a student of homeopathy. I'm very excited to have her share her story with the mass consciousness and with doing that for all of us who are tuning in to support her and also be illuminated by each other's stories. So welcome, Pamela. I'm so happy to have you here tonight.
Thank you, Cynthia. I'm grateful to be here.
So let's talk about, well, let's begin wherever you'd like to begin and share your story or share whatever you'd like to. Of course, I'd like to know as much as possible, as I'm sure everyone else does, including the fact that you have a very creative and very exciting website that I can't wait till you share with people. So we can talk about that and the name of your company, your childhood journey. Just go ahead and begin by telling us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in southern India. I grew up there until I was almost 13. My parents were what I call educational missionaries, building schools and writing books and doing research, things like that. And very interesting childhood. I'm very grateful.
I bet.
Yeah. Very different from what I would have had here. No television. No. At that time, there was no. There were no Western imports. So, no 7-Up for lunch. no McDonald's. And life was very different. We had to create everything that we did, you know, everything that we did for our entertainment, we had to create under the trees and the stars. And so,
wow.
With two sisters and a dog and friends, we had a lot of fun playing and devising games and coming up with things together. And then went to boarding school while I was there. That was momentous for me, and I was there for a couple of years, and my mom came up for the third year. We moved back to the States when I was almost 13. On the way back, we traveled through the Himalayas. My dad had spent a couple of months the previous year traveling to various monasteries. He had met the Dalai Lama and gotten a letter of admission to the monasteries there, and he wanted to share that with us, which was also really wonderful. And through Asia and back to the States, where we had our first culture shock, reverse culture shock.
Oh, how interesting.
And people would say, where are you from? And I'd say, India. And they'd say, Indiana? No. Not quite. A very different, I was a very different 13-year-old from my classmates. And went to high school in Wisconsin and on to college, where I got a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and met my husband. I got the MRS through that. And moved to Minnesota. I worked in corporate America, and decided that I had some sort of a calling that I wasn't fulfilling, and went to see a career counselor who suggested that I had some creative sides of me that I hadn't explored, and she didn't think I was meant to do that as a career, but that I should explore it through taking classes. So I started doing watercolor and photography and baking, some of those things, and then ended up deciding to pursue international human rights law, which I had changed my mind about before I even got into law school. But meanwhile, I had been persuaded that law school was a great way to expand the mind, to learn how to think more critically, and that it could be applied to just any career I chose. Mm-hmm. So I went to law school at down in North Carolina, where it was just beautiful on the Duke campus. There's so many trees, and it's a beautiful campus. And then I had my eldest son 6 weeks before I graduated. So I knew that I didn't want to work. I wanted to be a full-time stay-at-home mom with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that's still very important to me and a high priority for me to be there for my family. As I was telling you, thanks to Hollywood for reminding me of that with all the movies.
With all the movies that represent to you, the movies represent to you the lack of being at home and with family?
Right. The kind of the regrets that happen when mm-hmm. when you make a choice to, you know, I think the idea being is people think that they're doing what's best for their family by working a lot and having a nice standard of living. And that's definitely the route that I was headed. You know, I wanted the law firm career. I wanted the big house, the fancy car, and the nanny, mm-hmm. and full-time nanny. But then, as soon as I got pregnant, I was my mind changed completely and irreversibly. Some sort of a intuitive, deep, I can't possibly do anything other than what I'm really meant to do here with my motherhood. And I'm so glad because I've learned so much. It's opened me up and given me the opportunity to, because I wanted my children to be who they are, I had to be who I was. So I had to stay true to myself and, you know my truth and be consistent with it in my behavior, and that's been very helpful to me in my deeper sense of fulfillment and contentment, and which is what I was searching for with my calling all those years before. So and along the way, you know, before I got pregnant with my second child, I thought I was doing a lot of photography with my first and really enjoying it, and I thought maybe I would start a photography business. But then when I was in the early stages of pregnancy with my second child, I developed like a food aversion except to photography, because I was nauseous and photographing, and I put the two things together and I couldn't use the camera for a year or so. So I put that aside. Yeah, it was strange aversion, but I guess it all works out in the end. I set it aside, but I started making pouch slings, you know, for myself to use with my daughter, and I made them for friends, and they liked them, so then I thought, well, maybe I'll do that, and I started doing that, and then her schedule changed, and I couldn't get the time to sew that I needed, and so I dropped that, and I started writing a book, and I also had to drop that. But all of those things came together when I, before my third was born, and this time I decided I was going to keep on going before I got pregnant the third time. I started a sewing pattern company, and I wanted it to be, you know, because of my appreciation for photography, I wanted my website to be photo rich, and I do a lot of the photography myself for it, and the writing has come into play with the writing on the website and in the blog, but also in the patterns, and I'm actually drawing, which is something I never really considered myself capable of doing, but I'm drawing all the illustrations, and I'm going to be issuing a pattern for a pouch sling based on the one that I was thinking I was going to be making and manufacturing and selling. So it's all ended up coming together with the sewing pattern company. And
so let me interrupt you for a minute and say, so what you're saying is for confirmation and validation to you is that all those pieces and aspects of you that were wanting to be expressed and to be experienced by you, that you were able to either dabble in or really find that were a passion and a part of you, that they, instead of having to lose all those parts, to throw them away or to even let go of them, you found yourself being able to, it seems like almost without the planning of, they all seem to show up as a part of your full expression in the company you have today.
Right. And that's a huge relief to me because I felt like I was constantly starting and quitting. And, mm-hmm. you know, was I ever going... And even when I started the Sewing Pattern Company, people were saying, okay, we'll believe it when we see it. And then when I actually issued my first patterns, they were, wow, you really are doing this. And but it was a good confirmation to me that these things that I had explored really were possible careers or really were part of what I was meant to be doing, part of my calling. It's just that the timing wasn't right or it needed to mm-hmm. come together with something else. And it feels like pulling, the Sewing Pattern Company feels like pulling from all of those into one and kind of a fuller, rounder expression of what I can offer.
Well, let me interrupt you and say, let's first give the name of your sewing company or your website.
The website is, well, the name of the company is Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Mango, mm-hmm. like the fruit, seed. Mm-hmm. And the website is johnnymangoseed.com.
Now, that's very interesting for a lot of people. What does that Johnny Mango Seed, what does that name represent? Why would you choose that for the name of your company?
I had wanted something having to do with paisley because I had taken an Indian art class and I really liked the whole idea of what paisley represents.
And for those of us who don't know, what does it represent?
Well, it's auspicious. It also represents the mango, but it has there are a few different auspicious meanings, but you know, it's represented well in all kinds of Indian art, and
mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about the mango and this. We used to sing grace. My family still does, but when we were in India, we changed this song, Johnny Mango or Johnny Appleseed song, to Johnny Mango Seed because we were in India, and the song is about our blessings, the Lord is good to me, so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun, the rain, and the mango seed is what we would say, the Lord is good to me. And then we had an Amen chorus, and I had a little solo part in there singing Johnny Mango Seed. And so it was extra meaningful.
That is so great.
Yeah, yep. And now my son is vying for that part. He's trying to replace me.
Oh, that's great.
So, what a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just felt right immediately when I thought of it, and all of these meanings coming together, and I thought I had the name long before I had the Sewing Pattern Company, I think back when I was even thinking about doing the photography, I had already picked that name, but I picked it partly because it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have to
mm-hmm.
be just, yeah. And
mm-hmm.
Little did I know at the time that it was going to end up being a Sewing Pattern Company. And my sister, I told her about it, and she actually did the initial design for the logo, and so it's all very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that for everybody who's listening, wherever you are in your life, whatever challenge you're having, whatever loss you're grieving or having to let go of, a dream or even more importantly in relationship to the show, a creative endeavor, I invite everyone, if it resonates only, to really hear Pamela's story and that you might believe that you're letting go of a part of you, but lo and behold, you might be surprised that maybe you're just putting it down for some time, and then it's going to be a part of the bigger expression of you and who you are, like it has been for Pamela later on. So I invite everyone who's listening to if you've lost hope or you feel hopeless or without direction, to be mindful that it sounds like Pamela's story, that your life has kind of guided you to the culmination of all of your creativity and your dreams, and continues to unfold for you.
Right. Just so, you know, that little bit that you see in front of you, that first that step that you can take, that's what I've been doing, taking it and not seeing that I didn't know what was coming 5 or 10 years down the line. And sometimes I thought maybe I was misstepping or walking in really muddy pastures.
That's okay.
You can get from here to there through muddy pastures too. So,
yes, you can. I completely agree. You know what I find so interesting is that your story is involves so much imagination, only because, and that's so beautiful and so rare, because of the lack of the 7-Up and the no McDonald's and all of that, and that you had to allow, in order for entertainment, if you will, those parts of you, your heart, your soul, your imagination, to be a part of your childhood. And it sounds very much like that's how you survived, and also how you thrived, was your connection to imagination.
Yeah. Definitely.
Which I think a lot of people in humanity have lost their connection to imagination. They've lost maybe their belief in it or their relationship to it. And maybe to turn off the television, turn off the sound filler that takes up all of that imagination opportunity, that we should do that as the mass consciousness and really dive into the imagination of what's possible, because it sounds like what you are aware of and what a lot of the mass consciousness is aware of is what is not possible or what's impossible. And I've always loved the word impossible, because if you break it up, it's the word I'm possible. And so the actual word defines the opposite. So I think your creativity and your ability to thrive, your connection to your intuition, and your ability to, I think, explore the different facets from your Bachelor of Science to your International Human Rights Law School thoughts to that you felt a calling to your creative side. I think it's symbolic, too, that you had to put your camera down and to not be nauseous, because it was almost like spirit's guidance to you that you had to look through the lens of your own eyes and capture what was in the moment, maybe.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, and the way, as you know, the way my second, the birth of my second child went, I really did need to be open and aware and focused on my family for quite a while. She wasn't breathing when she was born, and then received an accidental severe overdose of medication, central nervous system medication suppressant, when she was 4 days old. So it just threw us for a loop, and we had to kind of threw our heads on again and re-envision our lives as a family and what was going to come next and what we needed to really focus on and how we should spend our time and money and effort. And it was a complete, change. We at that point conventional medicine was telling me things like I needed to get her a permanent D-tube, and my intuition was telling me everything's going to be fine. So I had to look elsewhere to find somebody who could say, I can help you heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I searched and searched, and I tried all kinds of things that first year while my camera was down. And, and spent a lot of time and energy looking for what was right before a friend who had been trying to persuade me to try homeopathy, just like the person, you know, who had tried to persuade me to try it for acute, and until my son had a bee sting on his neck and I had no other options because he would throw up when I gave him Advil and it was swelling. That's when I finally gave him homeopathic APIS because that was my only choice. And same thing I knew it was helpful for falls and things like that, but I couldn't believe it would actually help somebody who couldn't use her hands or couldn't walk. And then this friend of mine that I had met by my one and only online cyber friend told me about it over and over. She was trying to persuade me to try it, and repeatedly I was saying, no, I don't see how that's going to help. And then one day she wrote to me and said, my daughter, and I'd never met her daughter, so I had no idea how involved her daughter's issues were. And I had never seen a photograph of her or anything. And I found out in this email that her daughter had to wear an eye patch regularly because was cross-eyed and her spine was not straight. And I think one leg was shorter than the other. And in this email, she says, wow, today was such a great day. You know, her dance teacher said that she seems like she's got more balance and her eyes are looking straighter. And I said, wait a second. What was this? Who was that again? Homeopathy? That really got my attention. So finally, then we found a path. But I really needed to be, you know, have my way cleared, to be open, so I could see when that finally did come to me as clear as day, that this was what I needed to do. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, for those that are listening and don't know what homeopathy is, could you explain that to them?
It's a system of medicine developed by Samuel Hahnemann a couple hundred years ago in Germany when he became frustrated with the bloodletting and leeches and things, he started studying going way back and ended up deciding that like cures like, it was the way to go. So it's the general idea is called the law of similars, where if you say mercury causes all kinds of toxic things in people, if you give a homeopathic version of mercury, then it will heal those same toxic issues that are occurring in people. So, or snake venom, or you know, something from a flower. All of those, there are all kinds of remedies made from all kinds of substances, and they take the substance, triturate it with milk sugar, and then dilute it. And between dilutions, they succuss it, which is to pound it, which is what gives it kind of the energy. Hahnemann himself discovered that, the story that I heard is that he was doing these, at that time, taking the horse and cart to do rounds with his patients, and the patients at the end of his rounds were doing better than the patients at the beginning of his rounds, and he was trying to figure out what was happening to the medicine between the beginning and the end, and he realized that it was bouncing up and down in the back of the cart. So he actually used his Bible, and he would succuss it himself, and that gives it this what they call potency. So it's also, besides succussing, it's also called potentizing.
Mm-hmm.
And the ironic thing about homeopathy for the conventional mind is that the more diluted it becomes, the higher its potency. So it becomes gentler, but also becomes more potent, has a deeper and longer lasting impact. So
yeah, the logical mind would not totally understand that, right?
Yeah. So when the people were, when I went to the health food store and looking for something, and she said, "Well, if you understand physics, no, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why? I don't understand. Why would diluting it make it more? That doesn't make any sense." So that's why I kept shoving it aside until I had to accept it as my only option both times. And now my whole family, my dog even, is helps my homeopathy, and everyone is, we use it. It's our main system of the main modality that we use. And it's a form of energy medicine, so we have sensitive people in our family. It works well for what we need.
Yeah, so for the listeners and all who have gathered in body and out of body, what homeopathy sounds like, what you're saying, is that it's energetic blueprint attracts like in an etheric, maybe energy body, to the like in the physical body, and then attracts and attaches to itself, and for lack of time would maybe dilute the problem, and I would say get rid of the problem, because the energy attracts the energy of the same thing, and therefore it collapses it, so to speak.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what happens, but something about the two vibrations, the way that I visualize it and feel it is that it's something it's like it finds a home, it finds a peaceful place, a resting place that it can let go. And what we found with our constitutional, our chronic, the work that we do with our chronic issues is that it seems like it's a, so people describe it as a taking away the layers of an onion, and for me it feels like, you know, if you're carrying 10 suitcases on your shoulders and they're taken away one at a time, the kind of a lightening of your burden, and so that you're freer and freer to become more of who you are, your truest self. But on when you're dealing with something like a bruise or something like that, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit different. It's a lot, the concept is a lot like the vaccine idea, except it's obviously a completely different delivery. Yeah, but it seems, and in that situation, I think, like, if you fall and you're bruised or you have a broken bone, it seems to stimulate the body to heal itself. By introducing the vibration of this,
So, if I hear you correctly, it also works on the emotional body as well, correct?
Yes, it works body, mind, and spirit, and so homeopaths often will ask a lot of questions about your dreams and how do you, you got sick, what happened? Did you, did something, were you sad? Did something sad happen right before that? Because you can have ailments that are the result of emotional experiences that are traumatic. Were you frightened? You know, so those kinds of things can result in both short-term and long-term. It's actually given me a great appreciation. Aconite is the is a remedy that's used for ailments from fright, and it's just like rescue. It's similar to rescue remedy, but probably for a deeper sense of fright. So the kind of work that we've been doing, when we do have a major fall or something like that, we try to make sure that we also address the emotional aspect of it, not just the physical, so that the fright itself isn't contributing to any physical issues that might result from the physical experience of falling or whatever it is.
Oh, that's so fascinating, and it makes so much sense to my logical mind. The little tiny bit of logical mind that I possess, it makes all the sense in the world to it. So I'm just so happy to know that your journey not only includes law school and all that, but a lot of what you're talking about is also medical intuition and your ability to, not only for yourself but your loved ones, really trust. And the theme here I see running through your life, to really trust that the next step, even though there was a little bit of hesitation on your part or maybe more with the homeopathy, in trying it, and maybe the universe helped by giving you no other option, but now it seems as though you've created a relationship with homeopathy that is trust-based, and so I invite the listeners and everyone tuning in to really look towards within you, and then what could be, because we're talking about an energy source that can also affect the mind, the emotional body, and the physical body, that's a tool for you. It's an instrument of the divine that you can use for yourself and your loved ones. And people who are listening, I remind you to use this physical plane of demonstration, as I call it, to seek out tools and props and patterns and platforms that help you to get to know yourself better. That's why you're in a physical form. Your soul is on a core level fully knowing, but your physicality or your connection to the mass consciousness is still in the growth process of returning to full knowing. So utilize what there is around you. And it seems like you've done that so beautifully, from growing up in southern India to boarding school to reverse culture shock, where, you know, it seems like you are a teacher in a different land, so to speak. I find it fascinating, and I find your life story fascinating. I want to remind everybody, I've looked at your website, and I think it's great, and I love the pictures, and I love the setup. I love everything, and I invite everyone that's listening to check it out. It's johnnymangoseed.com, johnnymangoseed.com. And if you want to, if they want to talk to you, is there a place on your website that they can email you at?
Mm-hmm. There's a contact page, and all that's on the contact page is an email address, which can be, if a person clicks on that, it'll open up an email with its info at johnnymangoseed.com. There are also links to my blog and Facebook off of there, which are additional means of communication in our World Wide Web.
Yes. Yes, mass media is a very big way to communicate in a universal way. So out of your journey, I mean, out of all these amazing, and I know there have been major triumphs throughout your life, and then major, as there have been through all our lives, highs and lows, where you are right now as a culmination and an expansion into your creative self, what in yourself in relationship to the world, et cetera, and what's going on in the world, do you feel like things are spinning out of control, or do you feel like they are as they should be?
I feel very grateful to have found, I've spent so much of my life wondering, what am I meant to do? Why am I here? Why am I here? And I feel very contented and grateful to know, I feel so certain that I'm meant to be a mother, and I'm meant to be a wife, and I'm meant to study homeopathy and eventually to practice homeopathy, and I'm meant to start this sewing pattern company and to share those things. And so I feel a deep sense of contentment and fulfillment and even relaxation and relief to finally know who I am and what I stand for and what's important to me and what my limits are and what my gifts are and what I have that I can share with the world.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel that deep sense of contentment. And I am the kind of person who is always looking for more and the next, and I struggle back and forth between that, between feeling like gratitude and my contentment and just this really deep and profound happiness for knowing. I mean, I can't believe I have that Johnny Mango Seed is out there, and I'm actually, people are excited. They, you know, the patterns that are for, that cover the girls in the ages 6 to 8. I have 3 matching American Girl doll patterns, and that's fun for people. And so I love that I'm grateful that I'm able to participate in other people's joys and providing some small part of that. And then there's also, you know, there's so much more that I want. You know, I want to be a part of. One of the things that homeopathy has given to me is a sense of relief that I don't have to be so frightened about healthcare anymore. There's so much that can be done, and I can do so much here at home. I've avoided numerous trips to the emergency room just by having a homeopathic first aid kit on hand. And especially with my sensitive family, that's been very helpful to me, and I keep on thinking, what would it be like if everyone in the world had that? You know, people with no health insurance, people, and they knew how to use it, because it's very important that you know what you're doing when you're using homeopathy. And well, I think if any medicine is important, but imagine if people in the villages in Africa and India, if they, you know, those, every one of those moms who has to travel 2 days by foot to get to a hospital, if there was just one person in the village who had these tools available. So I think about things like that and about how I really want to see Machu Picchu, and my son really wants to go to Stonehenge, and I think about those things too.
Well, I mean, listening to your life story, to be quite honest with me, you have lived so much, so many lives in one life, if you will, from different perspectives, maybe not from your own, but certainly from what I'm hearing, it sounds like you are a major explorer and adventurer, and certainly what you have had to take on and work with has brought out the not only the survivor in you, but also the investigator in you that has brought forth much more wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, you're talking about places you want to go, and I have no question in your lifetime that you not only will go to those places, but you're talking about the deep desire and passion to help these women in villages, and rightfully so, that have to walk for 2 days to get help with homeopathy, and this might just be the beginning ingredients and details to what you might be producing in the next chapter of your life, of this life, is an opportunity that you bring forth and travel around the world, and you're that person who teaches and helps and informs and goes on from place to place. So I think that you have just stated a premonition about yourself and your own life and possibly your future and the world's future, because energy medicine is truly the future, if not already present, as you have shared, regarding medicine. And I think that, without question, your ability to trust now yourself with homeopathy, it sounds like almost a language that's been created between your intuition and the homeopathy itself. Would you say that? Like a language where when you do something with homeopathy, that your intuition starts communicating to you and with you and through you about what was the last remedy you used. And so it sounds like it's almost like the living book inside of you addressing the outer book externally.
Yeah, that does happen. And I do think of situations and sometimes in terms of remedies. That was a, you know, that was an aconite experience or something like that. You know? Yeah, and I do feel like because so much is riding on homeopathy in our family, the really deep healing and what we all want for our children is for them to be able to just thrive and to live their best lives and to be as free of burdens as possible. And So for me, homeopathy is one big way that I can do that for them. And so it is imperative. And I'm, you know, for better and for worse, I'm highly analytical. I'm constantly analyzing, sometimes overanalyzing. And that has combined, through homeopathy, that and my intuition have found a home. Because I can use both my intuition and my analytic skills. It's not thinking or feeling. It's thinking and feeling at the same time.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Now, where do you have, if you have, and maybe you don't, where do you have, where is the vision for your Johnny Mango Seed Company? Do you have a vision of where you want to see it go versus where it is now?
Well, I'd like it to be a part of revitalizing the home sewing industry. I'd like it to be a place where people who might not have time to take a class but really want to learn how to sew, where they can turn, where I'd like to have a dynamic online community of people sharing ideas. And for me, sewing has been, in times when I felt like I was just spinning my wheels and doing the same thing day after day, and was I really actually making any difference in the world? During one of my daughter's naps or one of my son's naps, I could make an item of clothing and from start to finish, and then they could wear it and enjoy it, and it would keep them warm, or it would serve some, or keep them cool, or it would be fun for them, or finally a comfortable pair of pants for them. And I wanted to share that joy that relief with other people and their ideas to spur other people's ideas. So I'd like it to be that dynamic and a source of joy for as many people as possible.
Well, and it sounds like it's really an opportunity to create community, whether community in the family or outside of the family. It sounds like opportunity. I noticed on your website you said for those who are creatively starved, and that was so perfect because for those who are creatively starved, your website gives them an experience with themselves that they can celebrate, and then the opportunity to expand that into gifts or loved ones, et cetera. But it's really more than just the opportunity of creativity. It's about creating a relationship with that moment and with themselves. And I just see that your website is so warm. It's so honest. It's so authentic. It's so illuminated. It's so light-filled and love-filled. And I just see that even if people aren't interested in sewing, you need to go to this website because there is healing in it. You have to read your blog. By the way, you're an incredible writer. Read her blog and just allow yourself to experience the healing that somebody else has experienced through their modality and kind of allow yourselves to just sit with it feel it. That's kind of like what I did with your website is I just sat with it and felt it, and it just felt so healing.
Thank you. I'm blessed to hear that. I feel very grateful. It it took a fair amount of time, and that from the very beginning, that's kind of the way I am in general. I like to think originally. I don't like to be hemmed in by the way things have been done in the past. And I did that with my sewing patterns, and I did that with a website. What is it that I want to do? If I were to just get to pick how a sewing pattern was done, how would I do it? You know, I use color lines instead of the dash lines that are typically used, and it's printed on paper, so it's easier to cut and also to reuse. And mm-hmm. I put it in a folder, so it's not quite like cramming it all into an envelope, which I have found frustrating at times. I have a lot of plastic bags around,
mm-hmm.
And I wanted the size chart to be. It frustrates me when I lose the size chart, and then I pull the pattern back out a couple years later, and I'm thinking, okay, what size was I when I did this? You know, so I put the size chart right on the pattern, so when you pull it out, you. So I tried to rethink everything and come up with solutions, and the same thing with the website. And one of the things I wanted to put on there with the photos was for somebody who's new to sewing or maybe needs kind of a some sort of a jump start, some ideas on there for, you know, if you were to do it with this type of fabric, it would look like this. And if you mm-hmm. were to do it with this type of fabric, it would look like this. If you made it, mm-hmm. if you tweak the pattern a little bit, then it would give you this new look. If you cut it shorter, it would hang like this. And
mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I'm really excited to have more people sharing what they've done and how that changed the way it looks, too.
Oh, wow, that's fabulous. You know, and as I'm sitting here thinking of what you do, I'm thinking how it's such a statement of life, because your website represents, you know, the sewing of the tapestry of our lives, and self-esteem is an example. For an individual who's never sewed before, for them to give themselves the opportunity to just try it as Pamela? Okay. Well, we are experiencing technical difficulties, but to finish, what I was saying was that, like life is a tapestry of starting something, finishing it, and feeling the fulfillment of that, and really creating the opportunity to be mindful, to be in the moment, and to be fully present in the moment, and that's all we really have. So the journey of creating the fabric and then putting it together is one that fulfills and helps the individual come to a place of, I would say, understanding on a whole new level about who they are, what they can do, and how they can do it. Hey, Pamela, I was just sharing about how that your website does is offer the individual an experience with their self-esteem, and it offers them an experience of johnnymangoseed.com offers them an experience of being mindful, being fully present in the moment, and offering themselves a beginning, a middle, and an end in creativity, and also believing in themselves in a way that they never thought was possible. So it's really a beautiful thing that you have created. Who you are is beautiful. Your life story that you have so shared with us, I'm honored that you were on the show and you shared it. And I feel like you've touched a lot of people's lives.
And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your presence on the show. And if you want to reach Pamela, and I invite you to, if you want to look into homeopathy, definitely look into JohnnyMangoSeed.com. Go to that website, and you can contact her. Thank you very much, Pamela, and God bless you and your precious family.
Thank you. I'm very grateful, and thank you for your gracious and generous words.
My absolute honor. So I'm going to bring it to a close and thank everyone who has gathered, those in body and out of body. I see you, and I share my love with you and gratitude, endless gratitude. Tune in 2 weeks from tonight for another illuminating dialogue on Awakening Matters. This is Cynthia Sloan, and as always, if it resonates, make it your own. Good night.